Well, hello again, and welcome to Upgrading SSAS. We're going to talk about both upgrading the tabular model and the multidimensional model. I'll cover the multidimensional side, and my friend Paul will cover the tabular side of this
particular presentation. Thank you, my friend Jim.
Presentation. real quickly, my name's Jim Miller with SolidQ. Over 30 years in the IT business, 7 years as a BI architect for SolidQ. Primary focus is on data warehousing, enterprise reporting, business intelligence, ETL frameworks, master data management, and database performance tuning. I fulfilled the role as an IT director, data architect, senior consultant. I had a chance to lead a couple very interesting projects in Bosnia and in Iraq. Started with Microsoft COBOL circa 1979. And my blog is called BI for Breakfast.
I can't make the COBOL claim, but my name is Paul Turley. I'm also a BI architect with SolidQ. I've been in and around the industry for 20 years plus. I've been certified with Microsoft since about 1996 and have been in the SQL Server MVP program since 2009. As a BI solution architect, I also do training and mentoring with customers at SolidQ, work with companies architecting BI solutions. And I focus primarily on data modeling and reporting solutions. We do a lot of BI architecture and visualizations, dashboards, that kind of thing. I've authored and co-authored a few books on BI and data management topics, and I run the Oregon SQL PaaS chapter in Portland, Oregon. I'm involved in the community there and help run the SQL Saturday and speak at conference events and such. And I blog at SQL Server BI blog, so you can see a lot of my presentations there.
All right, thank you, Paul. All right, so this is upgrading now the multidimensional model in SQL 2014. You can see that there's been quite a history for the multidimensional model. It is the most popular CUBE platform on the market. It's also been out for quite some time. The most recent addition was in SSAS 2014, where the multidimensional model has been added to PowerView, which is a very nice addition to the Power BI series of products. You have two options for upgrading SSAS. You can choose an in-place upgrade or side-by-side. With in-place, after you're done upgrading, the old is gone. With a side-by-side, you have both available for working through and vetting your new environment. You can upgrade from SSAS 2005, SSAS 2008, R2, 2012, if you're upgrading to from any of these, it would only be the multidimensional model, since prior to 2012 you didn't have the tabular model. So with your in-place scenario, when you're complete, the older engine will be removed. The older databases will then be moved to your new instance of SSAS 2014. They do not need to be reprocessed, which could be a relief if these are very large cubes that have large historical partitions. So only the most recent 2014 instance will remain. If you do choose to do an in-place, the stakes are higher, because if there is a failure, you then may need to go back, uninstall 2014, reinstall the earlier version, and restore the databases. So the stakes are pretty high if you choose in place and you have some problem. So you may instead choose to do a side-by-side. When the side-by-side installation is done, you'll have another instance of SSAS, which is 2014. You can then move your databases. Simply buy a backup and restore, a number of options to move it into the new instance for testing purposes. the uninstallation of the earlier version, be it 2005, 2008, et cetera, can then be done once you have proven your new instance of SSAS. In preparing to upgrade, what you want to do is determine and evaluate potential upgrade issues. The best way to do that is to run the SQL Server Upgrade Advisor. And this can be run remotely if that helps. Some deprecated features in SSAS 2014. Deprecated means that they're still supported, but the clock is ticking on these features. COM assemblies, one example. Remote partitions, you'll have to transition those to local. Remote linked measure groups is deprecated, so you're going to want to move those to local. The dimensional write-back is deprecated, so use partition write-back instead. Linked dimensions, which are really problematic anyway, but those are deprecated. The best practice today, although a little clumsy, seems to be just copying and pasting the definitions for those dimensions to multiple cubes or multiple UDM models as needed. A few discontinued options, the insert into and create cube connection string property. These are for local cubes. The earlier PMML language for data mining, that's been updated to the newer 2.1 version. And the create action statement is discontinued. There's an action object that that you're able to use instead. Breaking changes. No breaking changes when upgrading from SSAS 2012 to 2014. There are links at the end of this particular session which will give you resources to see about what breaking changes for earlier versions of SSAS going back to 2005. The upgrade advisor, again, should tell you what these breaking changes are so you can accommodate those before you actually get into the actual upgrade. A couple behavioral changes. There's nothing new from 2012 to 2014, but assuming you're upgrading from 2005, 2008, R2, et cetera, there's a new cube browser, both in Management Studio as well as Visual Studio or SQL Server Data Tools. This is similar to the MDX Query Designer that has been in SSRS for a while. The other thing to be aware of, if you're using Power Pivot and SharePoint, accessing those spreadsheets may require higher permission levels. For 64-bit, if you're upgrading from a 32-bit to a 64-bit, you'll need to do the side-by-side. Each version from 2014 all the way back to 2005 does support both 64 and 32-bit. And again, if you have to do side-by-side, which is recommended anyway, you can do more testing, but that's is required if you are changing from a 32-bit platform to a 64-bit. Of course, SSAS is all about performance, so you're gonna wanna have 64-bit anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, upgrading from SSAS 2005, 2008 R2, or 2012, before beginning, review the upgrade advisor. Better to know ahead of time than in the middle of your upgrade. There's also another product, it's a free download from Microsoft called the Best Practices Analyzer. Also highly recommended. Oftentimes when you upgrade, you can use this opportunity to refactor. So your cubes can be refactored to take advantage of some of the best practices. In any event, this will spot them. Be sure that your in-place upgrade can be rolled back in the event of a failure, because again, if you need to start over, if it's in place and the upgrade goes badly, you may need to uninstall 2014, reinstall the earlier version, restore all of your databases. So not a happy place to be But if you do choose an in-place upgrade, make sure you can back out as a precaution. For a side-by-side upgrade, you get a brand new instance of 2014. This runs alongside your earlier version. You have many options in order to move your databases, backup and restore, detach, attach. You can script it out in XMLA, run it, and then reprocess. You can deploy in Visual Studio, and then reprocess. If you choose not to reprocess, then we'll want to use one of the first two options, backup, restore, or detach and attach. For an in-place upgrade, you select the upgrade option while you're in setup. You point to the targeted instance that will be upgraded. Review the summary, and when you're ready and you're sure you can roll back if necessary, click upgrade. But once you click upgrade, then you are in the process, and there's no turning back at that point. All right, if your upgrade fails, there are a couple of logs that you can refer to. They're listed on the screen. Addressing those problems should then allow you to take corrective action, whether it means a full reinstall or a partial. Once you're done, you want to test your cubes as a smoke test. You can use Management Studio, expand the databases folder, browse the cubes. If you can browse the cubes, even though it's a smoke test, it doesn't speak to the accuracy, but it's a pretty good sign that things are doing well. You can also verify the compatibility level. With multi-dimensional databases created in the earlier versions, it's 1050. For 2014 or 2012 or later, it's 1100. These can be changed only moving forward. You cannot move backwards for a compatibility level. And you would do that within Management Studio. All right, your projects will need to be upgraded. Your SSAS projects that are in BIDS, this goes again through 2008 R2, can be opened in Visual Studio, which is really SQL Server Data Tools, in whatever shell you choose, 2012, 2013, there may be later ones now.
Sure, 2014.
Right. When you open it, that will actually upgrade the project. So if you open it up in a later version of Visual Studio, it will upgrade your project. And the projects in SQL Server Data Tools can be opened using the 2014 templates without upgrading. So if you're in Data Tools and you're opening one, say, from 2012, you can do that without upgrading. All right, so in summary, you can upgrade either in place or side by side. When in doubt, upgrade side by side. Some of these upgrades can be very complex, and you've got a lot of moving parts, different data sources. You might find that it looks like everything upgraded well, and then 2 days later you get a phone call and somebody says, hey, I can't connect to this using Excel or any number of clients that are out there. So just because of the uncertainty in large enterprises of exactly which clients are hitting your cubes, it may be worthwhile to keep them both, turn one off, and have the ability to turn one back on in the event that there are clients that you're not even aware of that are connecting to these cubes that are dispersed throughout the enterprise. Side-by-side upgrade gives you two versions running concurrently. It's a good way to verify that your queries, your reports, your analytics that use the cube as a data source are working well. In place, of course, is more risky because it does replace the earlier version, and it may be very difficult to put Humpty Dumpty back together again if, in fact, you need to reinstall from an earlier version.
Always have a backup.
Yes.
Always have a backup.
Yes. Moving from earlier versions of SSAS into 2014 will give you performance, scalability, better development tools. One of the things it gives you, and I'm going to transition to my good friend Paul, is the tabular model. So we talked at this point in time with the multidimensional, which is still the most popular cube platform in the market, but the tabular model is coming along to provide some very nice streamlined capabilities. Make sure, of course, you back up all your databases. And finally, a redesign should not be needed in the multidimensional model. If you choose to move to the tabular model, I'm sure Paul will go over the hurdles that you will be confronted with. So at this point in time, let me turn it over to Paul.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. So I'm going to talk about implementing tabular models. Now, we're on the topic of upgrading to newer versions of SQL Server, and I've very explicitly chosen the word implementing here for good reason, which I'm going to talk about. Analysis Services tabular models are authored with SQL Server data tools for BI. And when we talk about BI tools in another presentation that we're doing today, we'll talk specifically about the difference between SSDT and SSDT BI. But this is in the BI tools, which is very similar to the BIDS environment that we've had in previous versions of SQL Server and Visual Studio. So there, this is both a add-in that is installed with the SQL Server 2012 and SQL Server 2014 client tools, as well as separate downloads that are specific for Visual Studio 2012, Visual Studio 2013, and now Visual Studio 2014. And it adds these project templates, and much like we've had BIDS in the past, it adds the reporting services and integration services, and now both Analysis Services Multidimensional as well as Analysis Services Tabular. And tabular projects and tabular models were added in SQL Server 2012, and at that time, in pre-release, it was commonly referred to as BISM, or the BI semantic model, and that terminology has changed a little bit. I don't think that term is used quite so much, but it's based on the X-Velocity in-memory analytic engine. It's always been a mouthful, but it's fun to say. And the earlier and internal name for X-Velocity was VertiPack, and this is a real compelling technology that essentially takes all of the data in the model in compressed form and loads it all up into memory. And so when users query the data, they're never reading from disk. There's never any I/O cost. It's always pulled directly out of memory. And of course, reading from memory is typically a lot faster than reading from disk. Now, We're going to talk a little bit about this choice between multidimensional and tabular, and where that line can be a little confusing, and how do you make that choice? Well, one thing to really keep in mind is that multidimensional technology evolved at a time when data had to be stored on disk. It had to be stored physically on spinning disks, and so it was really optimized to make the best use of storage, whereas tabular is really all about optimizing memory, accessing data from memory, compressing and decompressing from memory, and using techniques like column store, which of course we're seeing in other features in SQL Server. So it uses column store compression. Calculations are defined using a new expression language called data analysis expressions, rather than MDX, multidimensional expressions, which were used in multidimensional. However, a client that knows how to run MDX or generate MDX queries can also talk to tabular. So for example, Excel always uses MDX. And that'll work against a tabular model just as well as it will a multidimensional model. So it can be consumed by any tools that really know how to talk to earlier versions of analysis services. So you see that in the screenshot here, you see Visual Studio 2013 in the dark mode. This was introduced with Visual Studio 2013, so I use this this when I captured the screen. This is the model designer, which is actually very similar to the same model designer that we have in Power Pivot for Excel with some added features and capabilities. So, on the topic of upgrading to Tabular, when Tabular was first introduced, when SQL Server 2012 was in preview, there was this rush to migrate or upgrade multidimensional models to Tabular because it was the new thing. And what we learned, and we had some of our developers at SolidQ went to work on a conversion tool because the metadata was compatible. You could grab the metadata from multidimensional and quote unquote convert it to Tabular. And though that was possible, it wasn't optimal. So the thing to know about these technologies is that multidimensional serves an important purpose. It's a very relevant technology that has a feature set that's very relevant, and it's going to endure for a long time, and it solves certain problems. Tabular is new, true, and it's less mature. It doesn't have a lot of the same features, but it does some things better than multidimensional. Since everything's in memory, it tends to be a little faster. It's a little quicker to develop tabular models, but it doesn't have all of those same features. And so there is no upgrade path from multidimensional to tabular. The migration path is really a do-over. The good news there is that tabular models are generally pretty easy to design, and they work well sitting on top of the same kind of star schemas that we would typically build cubes on top of, but they also work on other database schemas and work with disconnected and disparate data sets in a way that multidimensional wouldn't support. So there are some differences there. So a Power Pivot for Excel model can be migrated to a tabular server model. I'm going to demonstrate that pretty quick. And there are actually two different versions of Tabular, two different XML schemas to define the model. The first was introduced with SQL Server 2012. Internally, the version number is 1100 or 11.00. And then in SQL Server 2012 Service Pack 1, the schema was updated to version 1103. And that's actually the most current version of the Tabular model schema as we speak. There's a great paper from Alberto Ferrari on a case study for a large enterprise scale tabular solution, which I would highly recommend. So, do I choose multidimensional or tabular? I speak about this at SQL Saturdays and in conference talks, and I start out by saying, this is not a real clear choice. It's really hard to say always, always, always use multidimensional or always, always use tabular. It depends. We say that a lot in consulting, don't we, Jim? Multidimensional utilizes the existing MDX language. It's a very mature technology. Multidimensional was introduced in SQL Server 7, so it's been around for, doing the math in my head, I think 12 or 13 years now, and it's grown up and matured, as is the MDX language. So there's a lot of skills out there, a lot of people who know how to use it, and it's a very mature product, and there are a lot of good reasons to use that. So it has a very rich feature set. Tabular models are generally a little easier to design. They're very streamlined, and so we use them when you may have a large volume of data, you may have complex problems to solve that require a lot of complex and conditional calculations, so it does that really well. But we typically don't use tabular when you have very, very complex schemas with things like many-to-many relationships. That's an area where I think multidimensional actually excels over tabular in that it's real good at managing very complex schemas of data. Not that we can't solve some of those problems using, let's say, creative techniques with tabular, but it may not be optimized to do that.
So Paul, I saw outside of the domain of tabular was the parent-child relationship. Mm-hmm. Which would be very common, say, with a cost center or an employee table. So would you look at that and rule out tabular, or would you say, well, there could be a workaround for tabular with that?
I wouldn't even use the term workaround without kind of getting into the weeds on this topic, which is a very, very good question and a very interesting topic. So it's parent-child is absolutely doable with tabular, but it's something you have to explicitly design for. Whereas in multidimensional, you point it at a self-referencing table where you have a key and a parent key, and you say, go read that data and build a hierarchy based on the existing data, and it just does it. Okay. Whereas in tabular, I have to go explicitly define the levels of that hierarchy.
Okay.
And there's actually some really good reference material out at DAX Patterns and the SQL BI folks, Marco and Alberto, who are very familiar in the community, have written some great papers about this topic and have solved that problem in some creative ways.
So from a practical perspective, you would look at parent-child, say that's a requirement, but it wouldn't necessarily rule out tabular. You'd want to look more closely maybe at the number of levels that are involved within your parent-child hierarchy or something like that.
Yeah, and I would say that we have much less flexibility there solving that particular problem with tabular. So that's a yellow flag in my mind on a new project. Okay. Many-to-many is also another one of those. So we can resolve many-to-many relationships where the typical scenario is where you have a fact table and a dimension table and you've got a bridge in the middle where a fact can be related to a dimensional attribute through multiple branches.
Right.
And we don't get the same behavior in tabular if you were browsing that data in Excel or through a reporting tool, but in a DAX calculation, we can have provisions in that expression or query to resolve different branches of that relationship. But again, it depends, and it's not an out-of-the-box behavior. So that's another one of those yellow flags as we're gathering requirements. So let's go ahead and take a look at a related technology. PowerPivot for Excel was actually the first implementation of VertiPack or XVelocity that we saw before Tabular was released with SQL Server 2012. And we've actually seen this same technology now implemented in column store indexes, in SQL Server, and in newer features in memory. Optimizations that we see in SQL Server 2014 now. So this whole in-memory thing has really caught on, and it's good news for the right kinds of reporting and data management scenarios. So PowerPivot was introduced with Excel 2010 as an add-in. It's out native with Excel 2013, the Pro Plus edition. You just have to turn the add-in on. And the reason that I bring this up in this presentation about SQL Server is that you can actually author a tabular model in PowerPivot, and then you can deploy that directly to an analysis services instance in tabular storage mode. And I'm going to show that here. So let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to switch over to my demo environment here. So I have a server running SQL Server 2014. I have a number of different services installed here in Management Studio. You can see my relational instance, and you can also see my analysis services instance. And you can see that when I installed this instance, I chose the tabular storage mode because I have the little tabular model icon there. And you can see that I've installed analysis services in tabular storage mode because of the tabular icon that we see there. So you also see that I don't have any databases deployed currently. So I'm going to go out to my file system, and here you can see that I have a PowerPivot worksheet that I've authored with the Excel add-in. Now, I can either open up Visual Studio to a tabular project and import that in the project, or I could actually just right-click on this and bring it into the project. So let me do that as demo number two. The first thing that I'm going to do is just right-click on databases, and I'm going to choose Restore from PowerPivot. And this brings up a familiar dialog if you've worked with analysis services in the past. This is the Restore dialog. And so this is actually treating a PowerPivot model as if it were a backup. So I'm going to going to hit the browse button here, and that will open up my locate database files dialog. And if you've worked with analysis services before, you also know this is kind of a unique experience that we don't have an open file dialog. You can't go browse to the file. It has to be in a trusted storage location unless you provide the path, which I've copied here. And I'm going to just paste that. I think I need to break that up into pieces, though. So let me go cut that. Let it assemble the file name. I think I could have pasted that right there. Yeah, that's what it does. It assembles that. And I'm going to give this a database name. And much like multidimensional, we still have the same convention of, how about if I just type it, sales model. Have the same convention of an analysis services database. The database contains a model. That model contains tables. And internally, a tool like Excel will see that as if it were a multidimensional model, and it'll say, oh, that database actually contains a cube, and that cube has measure groups. Those measure groups have measures, and those tables will be treated as dimensions. And so we have a complete parity between the two different platforms here. So you can see that we're now restoring that model. And momentarily, we should see this dialog close. And then we'll see that the database opens. Ask a good question here, Jim.
So what's the difference between the tabular model in Excel and the tabular model in Visual Studio?
Ooh, that's a good question. Depending on how I choose to answer the question, so internally it's the same thing. Power Pivot really is tabular that lives inside of an Excel workbook. However, tabular SSAS supports more features such as partitioning, role-based security, perspectives that just aren't turned on in Power Pivot. So okay. Easy answer, same thing. More complex answer is that Power Pivot is a subset of tabular.
And how about my audience? If I develop it in Excel versus a tabular model and I want to send it to the enterprise?
Well, in Excel, it's just available on the desktop unless I publish it to SharePoint. So if I have SharePoint with the appropriate enterprise with all of the appropriate integrations, then it can be published to SharePoint. And interestingly, that actually publishes it to a tabular instance of analysis services called Power Pivot. And then we have the whole Power BI story. So you can use SharePoint Online using your Office 365 enterprise tenant,
right.
Which is really the same model as SharePoint on-prem. And then we have the new Power BI designer, which is really kind of a simplified and streamlined version of the same thing.
Okay.
So here you can see that I have my sales model database deployed, and you see some familiar things like connections, but we don't see cubes and dimensions and measure groups. We see tables and roles. This is just the way that Management Studio is translating this metadata, but if I were to point Excel at this, I would see some very familiar things that I'd be used to seeing in multidimensional. Let's go ahead and get this into a project now. So I'm going to go ahead and right-click on my workbook file, and I'm going to open this with I'm used to having the open with option here. Why don't I have that? You know what? I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to open up Visual Studio. My plan here was to right-click and say open with Visual Studio 2013, but we can pull it rather than push it. So I'm going to say I want a new project. And when I create this project, you'll see the BI templates come up here in SQL Server Data Tools for BI. And I'm going to choose import from Power Pivot. We'll go ahead and just take the default project names, just to keep this nice and quick. And this will prompt me now for my Power Pivot model. Now, let me explain what we're seeing here real quickly. We actually will connect to a live analysis services instance in tabular mode, and we're actually going to be working against that instance. This is a big difference between the tabular modeling experience and the multidimensional experience. Go to projects, go ahead and pick up that model. So, and this is just evidence that, that PowerPivot and Tabular really are based on the same metadata. Internally, it's the same stuff. They're the same objects that are managed in tables. We have measures and tables that have attributes and columns and some very simple concepts. One thing that I really do like about Tabular is that as I'm sitting down with business users, I don't have to explain what a measure group is and what a hierarchy and a level and what an attribute is. Even though for those of us who have been working around that technology for a long time, those are simple things that we understand. But sitting down with a business user and explaining the difference between a hierarchy, a level, and a member can be kind of a confusing concept. And in Tabular, most client tools abstract that away, and users deal with concepts like tables and fields.
Do you also find that the clients don't have to wait quite as long for the development of their cube?
Yeah, generally speaking, of course, you would need to have a skilled developer who understands what they're doing. But generally, the time to market for a tabular model is much, much shorter than it is with multidimensional. So here is the model open here in the designer. As you can see, we just have a simple model. We have one file. It's a model.bim file, and it's an XML document. It's a big XML document, and it defines all of my tables, defines all of my measures, my relationships, everything. And at this point, I'll go over to Management Studio and just point out that as soon as I open that model, magic things happen. It actually creates this model, and it gives it a very cryptic name. So it uses my project name, it uses my name, then it adds a GUID at the end to make it unique. So if I had multiple developers working on this, theoretically that would be a unique name. So this is my workspace database. And if I were working on a very large model that let's say fact tables had billions and billions of rows, I would want to partition this, and in my workspace, I would just have a subset of all of my data, so my workspace wasn't so big. But then when I deploy this out to my production server and process all of those partitions, then it would have all of the data in it. Now, if I go to deploy this, let's take a quick look at the properties of the project. You can see that it assumed that I wanted to use the same server for deployment. But I could use my configuration manager and have a development server target, a Q&A or QA target, and a production target, and have different servers here. I'm also going to change my processing option to do not process, so I can actually manage processing on the server. And the first thing that I'll want to do before I deploy this out to the server is I'll want to go up to my connections, and I'll want to adjust that connection. Here I just have a sample that uses an Access database, but if you're using SQL Server or other connections, then we would want to make sure that those are correct, and then we can go ahead and choose deploy. This should be a pretty quick deployment since I'm not actually processing during my deployment. Warns me and says it's going to run some script. And this is just a metadata deployment, so it's just going to push the objects out to the server. And that should just take a few seconds to get that out to the server. And that's done. You can see it says metadata deployed. We'll go out and refresh. And there's our actual model. And now I could go script partitions, I could go add roles, I could change my connections, and then I could process it here on the server. Mm. All right, well, that concludes my demo. So let me switch back to my slides. So in summary, Visual Studio, and this was actually true when we were in preview, so I need to make a correction here. So Visual Studio, the Visual Studio shell, Visual Studio 2012 shell, is installed with the SQL Server 2014 client tools. But if you would like to use a newer version of Visual Studio or another edition of Visual Studio, then you'll want to download the SSDT for database projects and then SSDT for BI, for BI projects add-in for the specific version of Visual Studio that you're using. SSAS multidimensional and tabular models have unique capabilities and many features in common. But it's hard to do a side-by-side comparison, as we've already discussed. It really, really does depend. And
so you would want to do your homework first, since if you go down one road and choose to switch over to the other, you go down tabular and say, oh no, we're going to go multidimensional. There's no real bridge there.
There isn't. So there is a backing up of the bus exercise that needs to go yes. on at that
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
I think the good news is that the tabular is generally fairly easy to design. Mm-hmm. And so if let's say that you went down the road of multidimensional and then you decide, well, no, let's go ahead and test out tabular. That's usually not the time-consuming part of that project.
Yeah.
But it does depend. And a lot of that depends on skill set and who's going to support it and who's going to maintain that solution down the road. And if you haven't used tabular yet, test the water. Use it on something simple and you know, invest a little bit before you jump head first and get yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
Again, you can convert an Excel PowerPivot model to an SSDT BI tabular project. You can either go directly to the server. You can also bring that model from the server into an SSDT for BI tabular project directly from the server. So if you deployed from Excel to the server, you could pull it back into a project. And you'll want to have it in a project. You really want to manage it in a project because, you know, some business user is going to say, hey, can you add this? Can you add this measure? Can you add this attribute or whatnot? Requirements always change and evolve, and of course that's done in your development environment. So I don't see Excel as the primary development environment for tabular, but it is a good first step. So a number of good references that I'll point you to. There's a lot of good resources out there, a lot of good information for both multidimensional and tabular on this slide. And with that, I'll thank you for your time. Appreciate your presentation, Jim.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us.